This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, presented by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Street in Litchfield. First off, the Chicago Board of Trade closing prices on Friday. September corn closed at 810, up 16. December corn, 807 and a half, up 11 and three quarters. September wheat closed up 26 and a quarter at 891 and a quarter. December wheat at 903 and three quarters, up 24 and a quarter. August soybeans closed at 1656 and a quarter, up three and a quarter. September beans at 1635 and three quarters, up 12 and a quarter. August soybean meal closed at 531.50, up 780. September bean meal at 509.80, up 390. And August soybean oil closed at 52.04, up 50. And September closed at 52.28, up 49. Time now to check in with the Illinois Department of Agriculture for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mostly higher on Friday afternoon. Corn futures were supported by the export sale to Mexico. The USDA announced the sale of 1.5 million tons of U.S. corn to Mexico, with some for old crop and some for new. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 12 to 16 cents stronger at 784 to 816, and soybeans were mixed at 1630 to 1662. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 7 to 17 cents higher at 809 to 821, and soybean bids were also mixed at 1677 to 1689. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 15 to 16 cents at 798 to 844. Soybeans gained 6 to 10 cents at 1650 to 1674. And wheat bids gained 26 to 27 cents at 865 to 888. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 7 to 12 cents stronger at 806 to 811. Soybeans gained 2 to 3 cents, ranging from 1653 to 1662. And new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery up 21 cents at 798 to 808. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 11 to 13 cents stronger at 815 to 819. These same elevators placed their soybean prices mixed with quotations at 1671 to 1697. Soft red winter wheat gained 27 cents at 862 to 863, and Milo dropped 33 cents, ranging from 712 to 713. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from 772 to 786, with new crop soybean bids ranging from 1587 to 1620. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 787 to 815, new crop soybean bids at 1593 to 1619, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 791 to 818. New crop soybean bids range from 1611 to 1629. And new crop wheat for July 13 delivery range from 768 to 821. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you, Jerry. And let's check our hog ink prices. Hog ink prices for corn delivered to the Greenfield facility. August corn at 823. September corn at 808. Corn delivered to Scottville. August corn 815. September corn 808. For beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville. For August 1631. For September 1609. Wheat delivered to Scottville for August at 8:27. You can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888 for more information. Again, pre-opening prices, corn at Greenfield, 8:23; corn at Scottville, 8:15; beans at Greenfield or Scottville, 16:31; and wheat at Scottville at 8:27. Checking the prices on Friday from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle closed at 119.97 off 2. October at 124.37 off 72. December at 127.27 off 42. August feeder cattle closed at 138.95 off 80. September 138.95 off 160. And October off 190 at 140.12. And August lean hogs closed at $89.55 off 205. October at 75.85 off 237. December at 73.95 off 197. Let's check in now with the Illinois Department of Agriculture and the Cash Livestock Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Friday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Morning Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 6,660 head today. They traded $1.51 higher from $83.57 to $91 with a weighted average of $87.78. And in Illinois today, there was 12,500 head of bears and gilts sold. The primal cutout value for a hog carcass was up 37 cents today at $93.15. Illinois Direct Sow and Boar Report, sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 23 to 26, 4 to 5 weights from $24 to $28, and over 500 pounds from 25 to 30. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again today from $54 to $60. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Friday, hogs are at 401,000 on the day. That's up 5,000 from last week and up 33,000 from the same time last year. Cattle are at 128,000 on the day. That's up 8,000 from last week and up 7,000 from last year. USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout value, there was a total of 167 fabricated loads and 56 trim loads. Choice carcasses fell down by a penny at $178.14, while selects were up a quarter at $1.7163, leaving the choice select spread at $6.51. At the Walnut Livestock Auction on Thursday, they had 460 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $2 higher, and Holstein steers were not tested. Choice steers from $1.12 to $1.17, while select and choice cattle were from $1.075 to $1.1175. Choice heifers from $1.135 to $1.15. And at the Carthage Livestock Auction, also on Thursday, they had 1,692 head on offer. There was a special feeder cattle sale. Feeder steers, medium and large ones, 5.5 to 6 weights at $1.40 and a quarter to $1.50.5, 6 to 7 weights from $1.45 to $1.48. Steers, large number ones, from 7 to 8 weights from $1.36 to $1.43, 8 and a quarter to 925 pounds. There were several loads from $1.28 to $1.33.25. And feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 6 to 7 weights at $1.36 and a quarter to $1.37. And at the Fairview Livestock Auction, they also had a special feeder cattle sale on Thursday. They had 540 head on offer. Trade was light to moderate with a weaker demand in response to drought-like conditions. Feeder steers, medium and large ones, 4 to 5 weights from $1.35 to $1.40, 6 to 7 weights from $1.28 to $1.37, 7 to 8 weights from $1.24 to $1.27.5. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 5 to 6 weights, $1.30 to $1.39.75, and 6 to 7 weights from $1.25 to $1.33. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's it for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you today by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Street in Litchfield and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment, Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
Radar weather brought to you by M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
With the heat and drought of this summer, many lawns need to be overseeded to thicken back up. Give Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS a call. They prepare the soil by working and leveling before seeding a new lawn. They can choose from many different grass seed mixtures to fit your needs. For a free estimate, call Tim Rothy at 1-800-962-7331. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS is a service of M&M Service Company. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Heat for about three more days, then temperatures will cool down and maybe another opportunity for some rain. Sunshine today, high of 93. Clear skies tonight, low 60. More sunshine tomorrow with a high of 95. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low 68. Partly sunny Wednesday, high 93. Wednesday night, a 30% chance for some rain with a low of 68. About a 40% chance of rain Thursday. And beginning Thursday, continuing into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, high temperatures only in the 80s. We're looking at low to mid-80s for that four-day period. Again, a chance of rain Thursday, and then another chance of rain on Sunday. Right now at the Weather Center, pressure steady, winds are light, clear skies, 60 degrees. Over the weekend, Rich Henry of Staunton picked up 0.045 of an inch of rain, the Lang family of Coffeen 0.3 of an inch, and here at our WSMI Litchfield Hillsborough studios, about 0.2 of an inch of rain. This update brought to you by M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, again pinch hitting for Randy Prangy. I'm Terry Toad, and some news items this morning. Congressman Aaron Schock is hosting an agricultural summit tomorrow at Lincoln College. He calls it an opportunity for ag interests to come together and discuss key issues facing the industry like drought conditions, flooding, government regulations. Chairman of the House Ag Committee, Congressman Frank Lucas of Oklahoma, will also be attending the event. Seating limited, but you can reserve your spot by calling 309-671-7027. That's 309-671-7027. Weather conditions have made the fungus aflatoxin a threat to this year's crop. Brian Frieden, director of the USDA's Risk Management Agency's Springfield Regional Office, offers reminders for producers with crop insurance. If you think your corn has aflatoxin, notify your crop insurance agent before you harvest the grain, put the grain in storage, or deliver it for sale. Your insurance provider will take samples for testing and then submit them to an approved testing facility. Depending on the aflatoxin level present, the corn price may be discounted, or in rare cases, the grain may need to be destroyed. Well, here's an update from the area livestock markets. First, from the United Producers Market in Shelbyville, then the Greenville Livestock Auction.
At the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville, Illinois, on Tuesday, July 31st, 551 head sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers, heifers, and cows traded steady. Holstein steers traded steady to dollar lower. Slaughter bulls sold $2 higher in a light test. Feeder cattle traded unevenly steady. Slaughter steers accounted for 21% of the run, Holstein steers 20%, heifers 17%, cows 12%, bulls 2%, bred cows, cow-calf pairs 2%, feeder cattle 26%. In the feeder cattle supply, 13% steers, 48% heifers, 39% bulls, and feeder cattle over 600 pounds, 25%. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, sold from 110 and a quarter to 115 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 105 to 110. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 102 to 106.5. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 97 to 102. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, traded from 110 to 115.75. Choice 3s and 4s at 108 and a quarter to 110. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 107 to 110. Slaughter cows, boning type, sold from 76 to 80.5. High dressing, 81.5 to 85.5. Lean cows traded from 70 to 76.5, high dressing 78 to 78.5, and low dressing at 55 to 62. Slaughter bulls, your grade ones, sold from 82 to 85. Feeder steers, medium and large frame number ones, a package averaging 420 pounds, sold at 128. Medium and large twos, weighing 250 to 300 pounds, 132 to 134, package averaging 310 pounds at 129. Heifers, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 350 to 400 pounds, 121.5 to 125, 400 to 450 pounds at 119 to 125. Medium and large ones and twos, package averaging 543 pounds, sold at 117, package averaging 783 pounds, value added at 107.5. Feeder bulls, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 300 to 350 pounds at 127.5 to 135, 400 to 500 pounds, 126 to 133, 550 to 600 pounds at 114 to 117. Middle-aged, medium and large frame number one cow-calf pairs, traded from $1,100 to $1,250 a pair. Aged, medium and large frame number one cow-calf pairs at $900 to $1,010 a pair. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service.
At the Greenville Livestock Auction on Wednesday, they had 583 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and Holstein sold 1 to 1.5 higher, while Holstein steers sold steady, and cows were $1 to $2 higher. Choice steers from $1.10 to $1.15, while selecting choice cattle were from $1.05 to $1.10. Choice Holsteins from $1.15 to $1.07, while selecting choice Holsteins were from $0.95 to $1. Choice Holsteins from $1.10 to $1.13.5, while selecting choice heifers were from $1.05 to $1.12.50. And in the slaughter cow division, you had breaking type cows from $85 to $88. Boning type cows from $70 to $74, and lean cows from $63 to $69. At the Greenville Livestock Auction on Wednesday, they had 583 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and Holstein sold 1 to 1.5 higher, while Holstein steers sold steady, and cows were $1 to $2 higher. Choice steers from $1.10 to $1.15, while selecting choice cattle were from $1.05 to $1.10. Choice Holsteins from $1.15 to $1.07, while selecting choice Holsteins were from $0.95 to $1. Choice Holsteins from $1.10 to $1.13.5, while selecting choice heifers were from $1.05 to $1.12.50. And in the slaughter cow division, you had breaking type cows from $85 to $88, boning type cows from $70 to $74, and lean cows from $63 to $69.
In other news, here's the weekly hog market update with the University of Missouri livestock economist, Dr. Ron Plain.
It wasn't a real exciting week, and the hog markets were ending up with prices generally close to where we started the week. Pork cutout value a little bit short of $93 a hundredweight, down only 13 cents from the week before. Pork bellies and hams had a good week, moving higher. In fact, for pork bellies, $1.52 a pound on the wholesale price is the highest since August 15th of last year. Looking at hog prices, terminal markets on a live weight basis, steady, right around $60 per hundredweight. Direct delivered to the plants on a carcass weight basis, also steady with the previous Friday, around $90 per hundredweight. Futures market, however, didn't do so well, down $2 to $3 this week compared to the end of the week before. Taking a look at weights, they continued to decline. Iowa, Minnesota live weights last week, 265.6 pounds, down 1.5 pounds from the week before, down for the eighth consecutive week. Sooner or later, the weather's going to start to cool off, and we'll see those weights start to move back up. But as long as it's hot and miserable, pigs won't grow so fast. And as far as slaughter, above 2 million head this week for the second week in a row, it looks like, up about 2.8% from a year ago. We're about to that time of year where we're likely to start seeing steady increases in hog slaughter from now till late in the year.
And what impact will the House vote on disaster assistance have on the outlook for the Farm Bill? American Farm Bureau Farm Policy Specialist Dale Moore talks about that in a report from AFBF's Jonna Miller.
Before heading home for the month of August, the House of Representatives put off voting directly on the Farm Bill and instead approved funding for drought relief programs. But with Congress heading out of Washington, it's highly unlikely that drought assistance could become reality before September at the earliest.
It's a big deal to the livestock producers who will be receiving the benefit. That is for certain. Those farmers, ranchers that aren't covered by this package in some shape or form, they're going to feel a little left out of the process. In some parts of the country, it was late winter, early spring blizzards that killed off crops. So for them, they're kind of out in the cold or out in the heat, depending on how you look at it.
American Farm Bureau Farm Policy Specialist Dale Moore says it's important that lawmakers in the House don't think passing this bill is an excuse to put off passage of the Farm Bill.
The message is straightforward to every member of Congress. Guys, we need this Farm Bill done. We need it done as soon as you can. It can't wait till next year. Please, when you get back to Washington, take up the Farm Bill, get it passed, get into conference with the Senate, and get us a final Farm Bill before you all go home for election.
And Moore says while representatives are in their home districts throughout August, farmers and ranchers will be telling them why it's important to get the farm bill done during this session of Congress.
Each time you extend it, you add just another degree of uncertainty, another degree of what am I going to be looking at when it comes time to get ready to plant my crop in 2013? What are the budget implications going to be if we drag this into the next year? All of those things come together and create a level of uncertainty that makes farmers, their bankers, nervous about how this could impact the agricultural economy.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
Well, drought conditions continue to reduce the 2012 corn and soybean yield potential. Yields now expected to be well below trend value so that this year's production will be qualified as short crops. Todd Gleason has more.
It's widely anticipated corn and soybean prices will reach a peak early, sometime in a relatively wide window around harvest, and then decline as the marketing year progresses. This anticipated pattern is generally described by the adage that short crops have long tails. The logic of this expected price pattern is based on three tenets. First, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Gooden, prices need to move sharply higher in a relatively short time frame so that consumption becomes unprofitable to some end users and the overall pace of consumption is reduced to be in line with the expected supplies. Second, a short crop is expected to be followed by a much larger production in the following year as weather conditions return to normal and producers respond to the incentives of higher prices. And finally, third, once prices peak and start to move lower, an extended period of declining prices is required in order to rebuild the pace of consumption to the level of subsequent production, says Good.
For corn, there have been 10 years since 1970 in which the crop could be classified as short. The price pattern in those years generally followed the expected pattern, but with some expectations. In particular, the timing of the price peak varied considerably in those years. The price peaked early in six of those years, but ranged in timing from June to November. In addition, the price peak occurred in January 1 year, in July following harvest 1 year, and in 2 years had a double peak, one in August and then again later in the marketing year.
Now for soybeans, eight previous years might be described as short crop years. Thanks, Good. Like corn, the timing of the price peak varied in those years. Prices peaked early, ranging from June to November in 5 years, had a double peak in 1993 and 4, July before harvest and June after harvest, peaked in April following the 76 harvest, and peaked in March following the 2003 harvest.
At this juncture, it appears that the 2012 season will be a classic short crop year with prices following that typical short crop price pattern, at least in terms of the timing of the price peak. Based on historical patterns, however, the timing of the price peak could range from now until harvest. With an early harvest, a price peak might be expected by September, assuming those prices go high enough to sufficiently slow the pace of consumption. Prices are probably not yet sufficiently high for either crop to accomplish that objective. For both corn and soybeans, there is considerable risk that the yield will be lower than now anticipated.
For soybeans, demand is also very strong due to the shortfall in the 2012 South American crop and ongoing large purchases of U.S. soybeans by China. For producers with substantial quantities of the 2012 corn and soybeans to sell, the window for the best price opportunities may be open for a while, but it's not possible to predict the timing and magnitude of the price peak. A strategy of spreading sales over the next several weeks may be prudent, says Darrell Good. For producers with little or no crop to sell, the major focus may be on maximizing crop insurance payments. For those with insurance products that include a harvest or October price guarantee, there may be concern that the price peak will come and go before October. In that case, some are considering hedging the insurance payment on their production shortfall by selling futures contracts at prices higher than expected to exist in October. There are obvious risks, of course, with this strategy, since prices above the selling price would result in margin payments and foregone income. Those considering hedging insurance payments may also want to consider an averaging strategy and/or the use of options to manage the risk, he says. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
And part two of the Farm Show has been presented by Bishop Motors in Staunton and Litchfield.